All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be chatting with an individual set to headline the next BKFC fight night going down on June the 11th. We've got Frank Tate and Alan Belcher getting out there and knuckling up and towing the line, and happy to be talking to Alan on today's show. How's your day going so far, man?
It's going great, man. Yeah. Happy to
be doing this.
And got some training in this morning. Yeah.
Yeah, and whereabouts are you primarily getting in work these days? I mean, a lot of, like, stand-up fighting as of late. Like, where have you been honing the skills in that regard?
American Top Team, Yaberville. It's the Biloxi, Mississippi area. And I live in Ocean Springs. Yeah, I do a lot of work at my house. I have a garage gym that I work in almost daily. And then over in Mobile, with my man Blake Singley, actually Satsuma, Alabama. It's a little north Mobile. It's about an hour commute for me over a couple days a week. But every day, the core of what I do is the work I put in with Robbie Ellis and
strength and conditioning and some mental psychology and
brain training stuff every day.
Yeah, it seems like the IQ part of it is like something you really bring to the table. Like, obviously a lot of like physical tools with the techniques and stuff like that, but it seems like your fight IQ is one of the bigger attributes. So it makes sense you're actively honing that part of the game.
Yeah, absolutely,
man. I think my time away from the sport to analyze it and to become a coach and mentor people and stuff, I was able to see how much of that I left on the table, and how much more you can optimize yourself, your physical abilities and your health and just really everything, man. So looking at it from a wiser perspective is actually good. You know, the problem is most of it, whenever you make it to a masterful type of level, or you're very smart or wise, you're usually old too. That's why in the kung fu, you know, narrative, the master is the old man with the cane and whatnot.
So I thought,
if I'm going to do this, I need to do it while I'm both wise and I still have some youth. So, you know, it takes me a little bit more to recover, but I'm still strong and I'm fast, but now I have the brain, so I'm a totally different fighter. And the second part of my career.
Yeah, because you're still at a point in time where, I mean, people have talked about the musculature shift in as far as, like, you were a middleweight in MMA and now, like, a BKFC heavyweight. But I would think the time off would have some utility, just, like, recovering, like, old nagging injuries and recuperating both on a physical level as much as it's, like, a, you know, refresh in your mind and, you know, re-galvanizing the effort. So I would think there was, like, a physical recuperation benefit to the time off too.
Yeah,
100%. If you wait too long, it's too late, and that's what I'm dealing with now. How much time left? Do I have enough time to take all the belts, or just the bare knuckle belt? I don't know, but we're gonna find out. And I know the time is short, so I got no time to waste.
And when you say all the belts, what exactly are you referring to in a broad sense?
Well, I'm just saying, as this, what's going to happen after I get the bare knuckle belt? We're going to try to make. I'll tell you what we're going to do. David Feldman and myself are going to try to make a case and try to get Francis Ngannou to come over, and we're going to try to get, you know, the heavyweight boxing champions of the different, many different boxing organizations, and we'll see who the fans would like to see from these different sports, try to get them to come over to bare knuckle boxing. If that doesn't happen, then there's got to be another way to get big fights or whatever. Just see how far it goes. Take it from there, you know? But I would like to remain a free agent and just set up my own big fights in collaboration with the KFC and, you know, fight up some big name fights. This is, you know, maybe by this time next year, the end of the year next year, or next summer, I would say, people should start to see that that bare knuckle is not just taking off the gloves and making it more brutal and more dangerous, but there's a different level of the mind and the skill set. It's more advanced. It's the boxing is more advanced. So we're evolving that, developing that, and my goal is to just take it as far as possible. You know, evolving the sport is important for me. You know, I left that on the table. I felt like I was a part of the evolution and developing MMA for the era that I was in, and I wanted to continue to do that. So this is my way of fulfilling that and continuing that. And the number one priority to me is, what does AEB want to do? What makes you happy? What gets you out of bed? What's going to fulfill you and create the lifestyle that you want to live and the life that you want to live and all those stuff that makes sense in your whole life. And that's number one. That's number one for me, right? Number two is the money, right? And that's part of my legacy too, is the payday. So getting the bare knuckle belt is just the beginning of it. Then it's how do we turn this into bigger paydays, bigger names coming in, bare knuckle boxing. That's it. That's really about all I can say. Is I'm going as far as I can, and I'm operating as if I don't have a lot of time. So I'm having to level up fast, very quickly. So I was able to, within probably 6 months of steady training on a daily basis, get past any former measurable level that I've been before as far as speed and accuracy, timing, and, you know, just any way that you want to split it up, just all those things I was able to beat just by focusing and doing things differently too. So, you know, I just know how to train better. I'm just smarter now. I'm better.
Yeah, and a lot of different options, I would think, too. Because, I mean, as much as you've made waves in BKFC, even more active in, you know, gloved boxing there with, like, back-to-back stoppages subsequent to your last BKFC fight. So it seems like a few options are on the table.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely focused on BKFC. I get asked a lot if I'm going to fight MMA again and that type of thing. And really, the main thing I'm focused on is becoming a bare-knuckle champion. And Dolan, I think, is happy with me doing boxing and getting these wins and stuff because it helps. It's not taking away from what I could be. It's allowing me to get better and to bring more of me to the table, more of just making myself better in all areas.
Yeah, I mean, you're well positioned to achieve that goal with the BKFC title. I mean, being ranked number one presently, and you're fighting the number four ranked contender. So, I mean, I think a lot of people are justifiably looking at this as a title eliminator with Frank Tate.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know why they wouldn't. The only thing that really mixes it up in bare knuckle right now is, new people coming in. And I can attest to the first bare knuckle fight is...
it's going to be a learning experience, and you might not win
it. I don't care who you are. It could be, you know, newly signed Ben Rothwell or Francis Ngannou.
It could be Tyson Fury.
I don't know, but it's your first one. You don't master it on the first time. It's totally different. The range is different. The pace is different. The mentality is different because it's a lot more risk. After doing bare knuckle boxing and then going into pro boxing, it's literally like it's night and day difference. You have so much protection to hide behind with the boxing gloves. It's almost simple, which is why I'm knocking everyone out in pro boxing too. And I believe I should continue to do that because it's just my level of focus is just that much higher. You know, just a little bit higher, which makes boxing, allows me to level up in boxing even faster.
Yeah, it's interesting you kind of brought that up because that kind of goes into a question I wanted to address because, like, I mean, with BKFC, a lot of, you know, defensive limitations. And when you were on the Bare Knuckle show a little bit ago, you were kind of analyzing that Tate versus Burns fight there. And you were saying, like, oh, a lot of it is, like, clinching going on as, like, a function of those, like, defensive limitations. So you're kind of talking about, like, being at BKFC and, like, a very key point in, like, the learning curve and everything like that. Like, has it been exciting for you to kind of try to dissect the sport in a way where you can maintain offensive effectiveness while being defensively responsible when there's not a lot of those normative defensive tactics?
Yeah, exactly.
I think some of the more amateur guys that don't put as much thought into it, kind of like, okay, you need to hold your hands a little bit differently. You need to get a little bit closer, but at the same time, you're just going to get hit some, and that's just how it is. And for me, I think that's never an option. You should never be allowing yourself to get touched if you can keep from it, especially at what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to fight
consistently as much as possible.
If I'm not doing bare knuckle, I'm going to be boxing to keep myself busy because I'm at the end of my career. I got 2, 3, 4 years left. Who knows? But I'm not wasting any time, so I need to level up. I need to level up quickly, so it's important to me.
Yeah, and I mean, a very intriguing fight in a lot of regards, too. I mean, fighting a guy like Frank Tate, who's got a pair of pretty impressive finishes over Josh Burns and, you know, former champion Joey Beltran there, and you've said you respect him, he's a powerful guy and everything like that, but it seems like the idea of, like, you know, being positionally favorable, if you could phrase it like that, just in the sense of, like, being there to get your offense off but also not waiting to be teed off on, kind of thing, like, it seems like the mobility would be, like, one of the bigger factors in this fight, and the fight IQ, like we were talking.
Yeah, those are very big factors for sure. It's everything's going to weigh into it too. The only thing, probably the biggest thing that doesn't matter is power. His threat, you know, his threat to me is he has knockout power. Some guys that I would fight may not be able to hit as hard, but I can hit hard too, which makes it very exciting for the fans, but it just presents one more obstacle for Frank Tate also, because of all the other things that you mentioned, the more intellect side of it.
And then you add in
my ability to actually knock people out, which is, I feel like, it's pretty new. I wasn't really a knockout, I felt like I hit hard. I was an athlete, but I wasn't scientific. I didn't have that. A lot of people will believe, like, you're born with this thing, and some people are. It's hard to develop. So I've developed my power. I've developed my knockout thing, and I set my mind to this about a year ago, I guess. At this point in my career, one of the things I have to do to make this go my way is I have to become a knockout artist. And you know what? That's going to be fun. It's going to be fun for the fans too. And that's just what I put out there, and that's what I worked on, and that's what I'm doing. So I got 5 knockouts in a row. 6 fights, 6 wins in a row with 5 knockouts. 2 bare knuckle and 3 pro boxing. And we're just going to keep racking them up, KO after KO.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of wondering, because, like when did the, I guess, seed get planted to return? Like, did you check out a BKFC card and you were like, oh, okay, like, this could be a cool thing to do? But it would also seem like the training that you've done and just the kind of, like, physique you have, it would seem like you've been training in a certain regard for the last, like, number of years, even before mapping out a comeback. So, like, when did everything kind of, you know, get settled in for, like, wanting to get back into combat sports? Because it seemed like, yeah, it maybe came after just, like, the physical kind of transformation there.
Yeah, it really did. Well, first off, my first thing that I think made a big difference in this was, like, I spent about the last 5 years really learning about strength training and getting strong, getting big, bodybuilding, you know, aesthetics too, as well, you know, because I you know, I was out of fighting. I need something to work on, right? So for me, it was like, okay, why not work on your health, work on your body, and that's how. So, you know, for the first 3 or 4 years, it really was more about just having some kind of progress and getting stronger, and that feels good, and I'm looking better and things like that. It wasn't as much about health as it should have been, you know. And so when you're not fighting too, you know, I was in weight class by then. I was 185 pounds, so I had to keep myself at a certain weight, or was supposed to, or whatever. So I got pretty chubby there for a little bit. I mean, I got big, but there was definitely times where I was chubby, and then I really just started getting everything dialed in. Like, hey, you got to get your
stuff together,
you know, and like you're better than this, you know, be the elite. Just because you don't have, you know, UFC belt or whatever, there's still something, there's something inside of you. So I kind of like started going down that road, thinking about fighting, and everything just kind of led to another. Once I opened up that door, it's just like anything else you put out there in the universe. The doors start opening, little things start becoming really cool, you know, little coincidences and line up and whatnot. That led to David Feldman inviting me to a dinner and talking to me about fighting in BKFC. And I had previously, the reason why that even happened is because I had had some of my friends and students, things like that, fighting in BKFC. So I got a chance to corner and coach them and go there and experience it.
And so I just kind of
observed and started forming an opinion, I guess. And then once he presented that to me about that, I saw this as a way to get myself back kind of started, and without the overwhelming task of getting ready for wrestling and jujitsu and kicking and conditioning and so many different things. To me, at the beginning, it was kind of just like a cheat code of like, okay, I can get back in there, and this will get me on the right path. And from there, it developed into an obsession and a passion about using the bare fist. And why is it so different? What is the thing about this that makes it different? Because when you take boxing gloves and you change them for MMA gloves, we already know what difference that makes.
I mean, it's not even close, right? It's totally different.
Then otherwise, boxers would have been, you know, knocking out MMA fighters. You know, forget the jiu-jitsu and everything, but if you just when you change it up like that, it's a different thing. You're getting hit with a glove, although it does massive damage to your brain, it doesn't hurt that bad. It doesn't actually hurt that bad. And they've done everything they can to keep you from getting cuts. So, you know, when I was younger, I was willing to trade punches. I was willing to get hit. I didn't want to get hit hard, so I kind of knew how to go with the punches. I never ran into punches, but that was definitely, you know, bare knuckle, things start to change even more. They get even more weird. You can't get hit. You might get cut. All right, now what about when you try to hit them hard, you might break your hand.
So
the risk is higher. So there's going to be a lot more nerves and a lot more anxiety. So mastering the mental side, man, is really just what turns me on. So I love this sport, and I've gained a new love and a new passion for the technical side of things.
Yeah, and also like this is like in your wheelhouse, and you're driving like all of this change and stuff like that. But I can't imagine it's like a detriment to, like, you know, rub shoulders with certain guys like Chase Sherman and stuff like that, who've gotten to that championship status in BKFC.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, you know, it started down here, just like the UFC started in this area, just like probably PKA and
bare knuckle.
We know that there's a history of bare knuckle boxing that goes back to the 1800s.
That was here in Mississippi
and Louisiana, Alabama. This is our little area down here on the Gulf Coast. Everything starts here because. So, you know, back in the day, they had to do these big fights with John L. Sullivan, you know, and these famous fights and that historic fights here. And
Mississippi City,
Port Mississippi, and over in New Orleans and things like that. And you got Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, Dothan, Alabama. These are the first couple of UFCs.
It
starts here. And I ended up, I'm not from this area. I grew up in Arkansas, actually, but I was coming down here to fight because there was no fighting in Arkansas. In Tennessee, you had to wear headgear, right? In Missouri, there wasn't really anything. So Mississippi, though, there's casinos and anything goes in Mississippi. They're corrupt, but they don't have any rules. And so I had me and my friends and stuff would go and fight and coming up, trying to get into the UFC at the casino fights, Tunica, Mississippi, Biloxi, Mississippi.
And so I ended up,
you know, meeting people down there, meeting my ex-wife and making this my home down here. But it is a fighting. You know, this is where it started. So being part of that is cool. And I watched, you know, my friends like Chase Sherman, and a bunch of guys, Jason Knight, these guys all fight in BKFC, and, you know, saw him get off the ground. And I caught myself for a second being just a, you know, kind of like with a generic impression of like, hey, why take the gloves off? Why are you going to make it brutal? We've already been here. We've already done this. And then I looked at it from a different standpoint, like, okay. There is something to this. We're it helps. There's another layer. There's another level to fighting. And once you take the gloves off, you just weed out more people.
That's my theory.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not going to know until I find some of the best MMA heavyweights in the world. But my theory is I'm way ahead, especially when it comes to bare knuckle boxing.
And I'm kind of curious because, like, at different points in this chat, you were talking about just, like, the enjoyment of being in BKFC because it's kind of reminiscent of, like, the UFC era you were in and as far as, like, the rapid growth and all that. But you seem to have, like, a deep historical appreciation for, like, that, like, Police Gazette kind of end of things there. Like, is there – I mean, obviously, you would ultimately win both belts if you got to the title opportunity there. But would one maybe have, like, slightly greater value in a certain sense? Like, would that Police Gazette belt with, like, the – rich lineage to it hold prominence, or having that BKFC belt that kind of represents the new guard almost?
I would say they're both equal, you know, but yeah, I mean, yeah, athletes want to be part of history, you know, and what, athletes, you know,
it's
I can't imagine anyone not thinking, you know, not wanting, you know, the original. You know, that's been handed down. It's like a heritage type of thing. So yeah, it does excite me. I think it's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
But most importantly is being the champ in this era, in this day and age, right now. That's most important to me.
Yeah, for sure, man. Best of both worlds, it would seem like. And I know earlier you were talking about, like, you're not looking to get back to MMA, and I'm not looking to kind of integrate that question there, but your UFC 100 fight with Sexy Ama was, like, a huge one back in the day that I very distinctly remember, and he's been doing great nowadays in his own combat endeavors there, like, killing it over in ONE Championship, was just on their big 1X anniversary show. I'm kind of curious, have you seen any of what he's been up to lately at all, by chance?
Wait, who is it?
Akiyama, Yoshihiro Akiyama.
Oh, Yoshihiro Akiyama.
I haven't followed much. I did see he was fighting, and I really just thought, okay, Akiyama's fighting. That's interesting. Cool. He's
older than me.
I think he was probably mid-30s whenever I fought him, and I was in my early 20s. But so he's got to be mid 40s. So I did see that he was fighting. I'm sure he's an excellent athlete, cool dude, and everything. So I don't know. You tell me, what is it? Is he winning or what?
Yeah, he fought Shinya Aoki at that 1X anniversary show, and he got like the come from behind finish there. It was a pretty big win.
Really? Damn. Yeah, he's a big man compared to Aoki. But yeah, maybe he's still. Aoki's getting up there too, so maybe, who knows? I don't. I can't imagine Akiyama ever beating him. In my opinion, he didn't beat me the first time. So I haven't been beat by him. So that was his chance there, and he still didn't beat me. He got the win, but I think I won pretty much every minute of every round. So. I don't know if that fight will ever happen, but if it does happen, I'll be happy to get that win.
Yeah, but in the context of talking about fights that, you know, could happen, like you're bringing that up there, I mean, it seems like you were kind of looking at that Jake Paul situation there, some rumblings of maybe him and Anderson Silva fighting potentially, and you were kind of like, you know, I love what Jake Paul's doing in a general sense, but like this guy will, you know, hurt you. Like this is like nothing you've experienced. Do you think that fight ultimately could end up coming to fruition there, the spider against the problem child there?
I doubt it. I mean, if I was on team Jake Paul and I was in charge of any matchmaking and I'm trying to look out for him, I wouldn't make that happen. And by the time Anderson gets too old to fight, it's really not going to make sense. It's going to be really stupid. So right now or next year, I would say Jake Paul, there's no way he's not going to get good enough. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'll eat my words, because I don't take nothing away from a human being that sets their mind to something. Dude, he's already accomplished so much, and he's getting really good at boxing. He's working hard, and he's focused on his passion on it. But also the guys that he fought, a little bit over the hill, a little bit. And the main thing with Woodley and Askren is they're just their minds out of it, you know. I as far as they're focusing on their business and their families and those types of things, and they're just not as passionate as whenever they won their championship thing before. And they're coming into a sport too. Boxing is totally different. The boxing is totally different than even bare knuckle boxing. But it's really a totally different thing than MMA. I mean, it takes years and years and years to just understand the pace and how hard to punch and things like that. Like, right? It's very skillful. It's a totally different animal. So you got somebody that's just been working at that for a few years versus a UFC champion, doesn't really mean anything. Anderson Silva on a different level. Anderson Silva he understands all these things. He knows all the secrets, or not all the secrets, but he knows a lot of secrets of martial arts that most people don't know these days. And he will, Anderson Silva is, I think, one of the best fighters of all time, and could probably do very well against heavyweight and cruiserweights, pro boxing, and anyone. I'm talking about the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, Andy Ruiz, Usyk, just, you know, go on and on. Glory Kickboxing, Badr Hari. I mean, I name all the best strikers at heavyweight. Anderson Silva at 40, what is he, 47 years old? He would do very well. He would do very well against any of these guys, because he's just a phenomenal when it comes to level.
Yeah, really cool career.
That would be a fight I would be excited about, you know. But I know, you know, chasing Anderson Silva when he was the champ when I was in UFC, and I was chasing that belt. And so I know him. I know very well, and I don't think Jake Paul has a chance against him right now. I would like to have that fight, though. That would be a killer fight with Silva. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man. And just the last thing I kind of wanted to touch on here, I noticed you rip the drums a fair bit. Like, how long's that been a part of your life? And like, are there any particular genres you generally gravitate towards? I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I just got back into it really to just mix it up with my training and things like that. So during the day and at night, in between my training, after training at night, I do additional things for my brain, my memory, and things like that. So the drums is a lot of fun. You know, so I feel like it's like a hobby that that keeps me progressing and sharper and things like that. So I mean, I've been playing music like guitar, drums, and stuff like that since I was a kid. Pretty much, my mom was in a band and stuff, so we had some drums set up in my house. Had guitar, you know. So I've had drums, you know, many times as an adult. So it's nothing new. I'm just like, I'm not a professional. I'm a fighter, but I got a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought it was fun because, like, back when, like, you were, like, ripping it in the UFC and stuff like that, I was, like, ripping up the drums, or rather, like, the guitar and the bass and different bands and stuff like that. So I thought it was cool that you also played, too.
Yeah, man. I play
all kinds of fun different stuff. I do, like, I truly just do different genres. It's like whatever, because also remember, it's like it's not only fun for me, but it's also I like to play songs. If you play music, you might be familiar. It's like, it's totally different when you practice. You look up the tabs for the guitar or whatever, and you practice exactly the thing and you compose it, versus let me just play with somebody or play along with something. It's a different thing that you got going on. It's almost uncomfortable because you don't know it, you know, and you're like, so I like to play songs for the first time a lot of times. And if they're really like hitters, then I'll save it or something and put it on my drum list. I got like some songs that I play where, you know, they're more like composed, where I've played them several times. So I put it together. But part of what I do every couple of days is I make sure that I'm just randomly picking songs, trying to quickly find the rhythm of that song. And it's like, I'm giving away my secrets. It's like finding the rhythm. Whenever you fight someone, in BKFC, one thing I learned, especially in the 2-minute rounds, everything is sped up. So finding your range, you don't have as much time. And they know that your opponent knows the round is short too, so it's faster and it's more aggressive too. So I need to quickly find that rhythm, whether no matter how fast or how slow it is. Whether it's a big guy, small guy, fast guy, slow guy, everyone has their own energy and their own rhythm. And, you know, so that's what I do.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of really cool insights for sure, and definitely relating to that with a lot of the interfacing between like fight ideas and music and stuff like that. But I've taken up a lot of your time, Alan. I don't want to take up your full afternoon. I imagine you got some other stuff you're looking to do. So is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up, man?
That's it. And just
tune in. Tickets are on sale June 11th. BKFC. You can go to BKFC.com, I believe, and find out more about that. I'm fighting Frank Tate. I've done a couple of interviews back to back, but I will say probably one of my favorite questions.